Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hey, welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, Signs of Life Radio. We gather here every month to explore the mindsets of accomplished spiritual mediums on many, many topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and as your host tonight, I'm very, very pleased to welcome Angelina back to the show. And, you know, a little bit about Angelina. Diana, she is motivated to work towards the greater good of the world. She's dedicated to the work of healing through her mediumship. Her grandmother was not secretive about her intuitiveness and regularly engaged the use of tarot cards. She didn't pay much attention to those practices. But later on in life, she discovered her own heritage, and she's enjoyed an incredible successful career as a medium ever since. She was originally certified by the Forever Family Foundation, and to this day sits on its medium advisory board, and was helping very instrumental in creating this show that you're listening to right now. She's participated in many scientific researches and is very interested in the whole mechanism that makes mediumship possible. She does a lot of volunteer work for Forever Family Foundation and many other worthy causes. She's in Connecticut, does private group readings, and can be heard on KISS 95.7 in Connecticut. Her website is www.angelinadiana.com. Our show is commercial free, so relax, sit back, enjoy a drink on us, and you know, let us stimulate your mind for the next hour. Before we get Angelina to start talking, I just want to say she's not doing any readings tonight. This show is like for information purposes only. So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, the number to call is 888-627-6008. So 888-627-6008. So with any further delay, Angelina, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roman. Oh, yeah. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. So nice to see you again. You know, in 2 days, it's going to be a year ago that we last spoke.
Oh, wow.
March 15th. Yeah. You know how I can tell? Because I make Word files, you know, like with all the stuff I'm going to say, and then I save it. And then, yeah, I'm looking at March 15th, 2024 is when you were on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back. I like what you're wearing. It's very nice.
Very casual.
It looks almost Ukrainian, like the pattern, you know, like, you know, embroidery kind of thing, like from far, but, you know.
I think it's leopard.
Yeah, it looks, now that I see it frontwards, it's leopard skin. Okay.
Well, last night I had the honor of doing a webinar for the Forever Family Foundation, and I was up really late.
Wow.
I got all dolled up, did all my makeup, my hair, and I figured I'm going to be with Roman. I'll just chill out. I got my glasses on.
Mm-hmm. I got my fireplace going.
Do you want this recorded? I'm like, oh, the heck with it. Who cares how I look? We're just together. But it was really a great webinar on learning how to connect on your own. And there were mm-hmm. great questions. And I feel so honored to be a part of the Forever Family Foundation. It's an all-volunteer organization. Yep. And it's really wonderful to be a part of it. The mediums are all volunteer. The scientists, you volunteer your time. Mm-hmm. It's just such a worthy cause. Membership is free. And, we
absolutely
appreciate the people that contribute to help all the wonderful programs that they put on as far as, you know, retreats and things like that. And Yesterday, it was really fun to be part of the webinar series. I
You
enjoyed
have a
it.
lot of people for that?
Yes, I guess they broke a record. 700 people. I guess
Wow.
the most before was 500. So it was a full house, and it was absolutely wonderful. I had a great time teaching
Perfect.
people, and people are interested.
Yeah.
They really want to get a sense of how to stay connected to their loved ones. So it was great.
Nice. I Bob let me know about it, and I wanted to go, but I had my, it was the only day I had the band practice. So
There you go.
we're
It happens.
getting ready for a show, so I had to. We had to do a practice,
There you
unfortunately.
go. It happens.
Yep, it
Life.
sure does. Yeah. So, hey, so tell us a bit about your practice. We're gonna do that on the front end instead of the back end. How's that?
Oh, sure. It sounds great. Well,
Yeah.
I've been blessed to be a part of this work professionally since 2001. I on the front of it all, I offer future readings too. I'm also a spiritual intuitive for those that need guidance on their life. But a lot of the work I do is as a medium, and that's honoring those that have crossed over their messages with evidence. And I do private sessions in my Suffield, Connecticut office. I also have an event space at my home, a part of my office. I can hold up to 20 people, and I can do private group readings here in Suffield, Connecticut.
Nice.
I love it. And I also do video chats, Zoom meetings, readings for groups or private sessions, as well as FaceTime. And I travel to folks too for private group readings in their homes or businesses. I also do charity work. I'll do a whole event for charities or fundraisers, and I also hold my own events. And I've recently started to do Zoom group readings for the public. So, like, if you go to angelinadiana.com and check out my events, you'll see where I'm doing events. But I also am gathering people in a similar space like this and doing spirit readings. So that's something that I do. And I just feel really blessed. The people that come to me, I know they're hurting and they don't know me well. So they're coming in with a blind trust, and I don't take that lightly. It's an honor for me to sit with folks who are vulnerable and grieving. And my hope when I work with them, of course, they want to hear from their loved ones, which makes total sense.
Well, yeah.
But I also try to inspire them to see, excuse me, I didn't shut off my phone, to see that they can learn on their own to connect to their loved ones, not just in the classical way of, here's a sign, which is wonderful. We get a sign, isn't it? But the brain will question it. I believe we all have a spirit, so I believe everyone can learn to channel on their own. I'm in practice and a lot of commitment and a lot of passion, but I believe you can have a deeper connection with your loved one than just penny, 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 song on the radio, feather, 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 which are great signs. They're wonderful signs, and I certainly do not discourage anyone if that's the kind of communication they'd love to have with their loved ones. Go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think
There's more.
there's more, and there can be a two-way communication if you desire it. So that's part of the passion and the thrust of why I do the work.
Wow, I'm glad you unpacked all of that. You sound like a very, very busy woman
Well,
between like everything that you do.
I feel fruitful. I feel fruitful. And like with any business, it slows down, it gets busy or fruitful. It changes. And
Cyclical, yeah.
I know that whomever is sitting in front of me is supposed to be. And if there's a moment in time where I'm not as fruitful as I'd like to be, I work on other things within my practice. It's an unfortunate thing when you have to sit there. I would never ask to be busy in the work that I do because it means somebody's hurting and someone has had a loss. So I take it as it comes, you
Kind of
know.
like a funeral director, right?
Well, I think it's a little different than that,
Well, I mean,
but
they want to be busy to make money,
correct.
but it's
Oh
the
yeah,
main.
yes, on a probably a yeah,
Oh
on a
yeah, just at a
restaurant,
very surface.
on yeah, that surfacey kind of way. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's true. You don't want to pray for people
No,
to
of course
pass,
not.
you know.
It's
That kind of thing.
yeah, I mean, I don't want to get political or anything like that, but we're, I think the country's gonna start hurting in a very near soon, I think. But I don't know. Does your are you able to Can you tell us some good news about the future?
Well, I mean, I feel I'll give you just a quick example of my philosophical viewpoint on things, because I certainly don't like to get political in the world,
Right, and I'm not asking you to, trust
because
me.
I feel I want to help everyone, and sometimes politics can pull people apart,
It does, it
and
has.
everyone has a right to their opinion, and as long as you're not physically hurting people, you have a right to your opinion, in my opinion. But the way I look at it is, recently I was reading an article on a famous priest. I forget his name. He's in New York, a cardinal in New York City. And he was commenting in this newspaper article about the health of Pope Francis. And if you've been following the news, he's been suffering with double pneumonia.
Oh,
And
okay.
the reporter said, "So, Father, what do you think of the state of Pope Francis?" And I was shocked by his answer. He said, "Well, you know how it is. Double pneumonia doesn't look good." And I was floored, because he's a priest, he's a cardinal.
Yep.
How about asking for a miracle? Like, how about, like, to me, you know, well, wherever we are in this world, whether right now it looks good or bad to some, think outside the box and hope for the best. Hope for the best. Have a prayer or a daydream or whatever your belief system is, and say, you know what? I hope the best for the country.
There you go.
I hope it will turn out okay, you know,
Well
versus.
said. Hey, we have a we actually have a we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
All right, so we have Lisa from Florida on line two. And I guess she would like to ask us both a question.
Oh,
So
great. Wonderful.
yeah, without any further ado, Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone.
Good
Good to see
evening.
you.
Good evening.
I
Welcome.
do have a question. I channel, and I can, when people cross over, come to me, but I do have a question.
Sure.
Because I'm having an issue with a family member, and it's cut me to my core, and I'm in a place of need and hurt, and I want to know if I get messages when I'm in such a low state, can I still receive those messages clearly? Because I know when I'm in a good state, I know it comes through clear, no problem. But what about when you're in a low state of being? And can you ask for the signs in the low state as clearly as you can when you're in a better state of emotions and mind?
Well, I think that there are two states we generally walk around in. And the majority of the time, most of us are very mind-centric, and we focus solely on the physical, and we kind of physically adapt ourselves to a reactionary state. When somebody does something, the physical body gets angry, upset, worry, fear, the inability to forgive, the brain ruminates, and the general population tends to let their feelings become themselves, and I feel we drown out the essential part of us that can channel or can be more intuitive, let's say. And you noted earlier, that you in your life. I don't know if it's professional or for friends or for yourself that you channel spirit. And there are different kinds of mediums and how they channel and how they work, or if you're a personal channeler, how you work. And my belief system is it all starts with intention. What is your intention? And why do you need spiritual wisdom right now? When I work with folks to develop, whether it's someone who's grieving or perhaps someone who's a professional, the very muscle of working against your physical brain emotions versus what your spirit is picking up on is the very crux or muscle that you're developing as a, say, a medium or as someone who's grieving. So for example, if you're a practitioner and you're going through a personal time that's very hard, and you need to help a client, it may be difficult for you to help that client if your world is spinning. And you need to work on the premise of taking your physical world thoughts and allowing them to melt in the background a bit and amp up your personal empowerment. I don't know how you work, so it's because every medium works differently. Like, but for myself, whether it's working with the chakras or the psychic senses, you and meditation or prayer, it depends on your belief system. I tend to pray and sing music and things like that. And it, even though what's bothering me in my mind is still present, what's being lifted in me spiritually is evening out the playing field so I can channel. Sometimes I can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I've had like a grief in my life and I get ready to do my, you know, my little thing I do before a client comes, and I'm just like, no, emotions, no, they're, no, I'm too tired from grieving. The fair thing for me to do is to call my client and reschedule them. In your case, you're speaking about a personal thing that's going on. Is that correct?
Yes, right? Yes. Okay. Not doing a reading for someone, just
correct.
For myself individually.
Right. So the other aspect of that is I believe that you can always tune in to someone that has passed, that has been a help or an inspiration to you, or someone that you rely on. For example, my mother was a very patient woman. She had 5 kids and never raised her voice. I still don't know how she did that. And since she has been gone physically, I have become a more patient, forgiving woman similar to her. No two people are the same, so I can't be like her. But I have found that when I tune into her and I say, you know, I'm going through a difficult time right now, I want to be patient in honor of you. Can you send some energy my way? And whether it be a sign that encourages me to be more patient or I feel her patience around me, it does help me get through some personal things. So and the other aspect, and it's a great question because there's so many layers to it. The other aspect of this is sometimes we have to go through the feelings we're going through. What you're feeling physically is normal, and you can't fix normal. And the brain wants to ruminate and repair things all the time. It's a normal response to say, I have to fix this, or I don't want to feel bad. Or it's like when somebody comes to me and they've had an incredible loss, like Roman has had, like you lose a child and you can't, your brain is like racking its brain. Your brain is ruminating and you need to find an answer and you can't find an answer. There's no answer to that. So then the brain starts creating these feelings and these woulda, shoulda, couldas and all the, and you have to go through grief to learn to calm the physical mind. You don't use metaphysics for that, so that you can live your life in honor of that person. So what you're going through, if it's something difficult, my heart goes out to you. A suggestion would be, since
you
are a I'm sorry, but since you're a channeler, my suggestion would be take a moment and say, some of these feelings I need to feel. And I need to learn to say those are feelings and that's a normal reaction to what I'm going through. You can't fix normal. But I'm going to take a moment here and honor my resilience as a physical human being, because I need to build that up to live my everyday life. And when I feel a little tired or a little pooped or I need some inspiration, I'm going to tune into somebody. I mean, I'm hoping you don't have people that you love that are in spirit, but if you do have people in spirit that you love, or a spirit guide, or you have a belief in God or Buddha or whatever your belief system is, go to your higher power or that person that you love and say, I know you see that I'm suffering through this. I'm feeling fear, but fear is based on something that hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to use the gift of peace and grace to get through this. So instead of trying to channel to find the answer, maybe channel to use a spiritual gift to help you through it. Does that make sense?
Well said. Thank you very much. Yes, perfect. Thank you so much. I was gonna
add something, but Angelina covered everything.
I'm sorry.
I guess you did.
No. I mean, you
need to hog it. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I mean, your insight's a lot better than mine. That's for sure. All I was gonna say was, I mean, from all the things that I've read is that, yeah, you can be in a bad place and you can still talk to your loved one. I'm pretty sure they're going to hear you. But if you're not emotionally ready to receive the messages, then you won't hear them. They'll just hear you. You won't hear them until you're ready, unfortunately. And Angelina just went through a ton of stuff to get you to that place. Right?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I so
you
appreciate
so
your radio show and the calls that you allow us to call into. Thank you so much, Roman. And thank you.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. That's how I help my grief, is by helping others. That to me is the best way, because I'm not a medium. So I can, I just like helping others, and that just kind of alleviates my grief, which will never go away.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Many blessings.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Many blessings.
Take care, Lisa. Thank you for calling. Yeah, that was an interesting caller and interesting question.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, just on that subject, do you ever, like, do you get signs from your mom that passed away? Like, do you have conversations with her or your grandparents or anything like that, or members, that passed away before you as a medium? Can you channel them in?
Well, I don't do it as a medium. I do it as a griever. There's a big difference. Yeah, there's a big difference. I don't think there's any advantage. The only advantage that I might have being a medium is if I've had the honor and the beautiful experience of seeing through other people that are grieving that it's possible. But my emotions of loss are there. My emotions of missing are there.
Mm-hmm, of course.
I have a deep belief. I know there's an afterlife, which gives me a breath, a moment of going, I'll see you soon, or I'll see you someday.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I might be grieving for a friend or grieving for my mom, where the grief is really heavy. So I have to, what I do is I honor the grief. I cry, I kick in a wall, I let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some type of a release. And then I will meditate or pray some time with my mom or a friend that I've lost. And I'll talk to them and I'll sit quietly. I try to see, hear, or feel something from within. And then I'll look out in the world and go, okay, thanks for that conversation. I understand it. Or no, I don't understand it. But send me something that you just showed me.
Yeah.
So while I'm in the physical world, I can feel your presence with me. Because I think, the first best thing would be that my mother walked through the door right now. That's not going to happen.
Right.
The second best thing is that I work on feeling her presence when I can, or I honor her by being patient that day or forgiving that day as she would be. So I channeling isn't any easier, I don't think. I think just the knowledge that I've attained helps me understand how to communicate with them. But I only know that because of the brave people that sit down while they're vulnerable to have a reading.
Yeah. Well, you know, before you got on the call, I was talking with our really good producer, Thomas, and we were talking about, you know, kind of like that and like just, you know, how do you know when you can reach somebody in the afterlife? How do you like just knowing, like believing, you know, like the difference between knowledge and a belief? I think knowledge is stronger than belief because knowledge is something that you've experienced. So I think mediums have a knowledge of the afterlife. It's stronger than a belief because us non-mediums, well, we experience it, all of this stuff vicariously through your, you know, I mean, through mediums and the solid proof that you provide and all of that. But it's still anecdotal. You know what I mean? It's still, we're experiencing what you're experiencing. You're retelling what you're seeing, kind of thing. So
sure.
But by seeing it, your knowledge, your belief is a knowledge. It really is because you've seen it. You're a medium. You've talked to spirit. You communicate with spirit firsthand.
Yeah, but I can see what you're saying, but I do believe that even those that are grieving are having experiences, but the brain kicks in and they doubt it. Or for example, many people might be sitting down in their living room and they have this need to go look at a picture of their loved one. I want to see a picture of them. Now, we would think, well, that's just my mind and missing them. But I believe your loved ones can give you a whim to say, hey, I'm right here. Hi. But because we can't, those that don't practice mediumship.
Yeah, you don't discern. You,
they don't discern to slow that down and go, wait a minute, why are you coming to my mind all of a sudden? Wait a minute.
Let me sit here
and talk to you. And when I'm grieving heavy, I do the same thing and I have to stop myself and go, wait a minute, I have to slow down. My grief got ahead of me there. I just sensed you. What did I do to just sense you through my heavy grief here? So we do, I think everyone has the ability to decipher or discern, I guess that's the word, their loved ones with them. It does take a breath and a moment to step away from the critical mind, the way the acute mind and how it automatically, like, I feel bad, let me do something to feel better. We always feel like we have to repair that right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's a normal response and you can't fix normal. But if you can have a desire and a commitment and the consistency to sit down and slow down the process when you find them coming to mind,
mm-hmm.
or you find yourself going through an old scrapbook or a phone and like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Wait a minute, did you prompt this? You know,
I know exactly what you mean.
Scientist about it or ask questions about it, because it's true that I have the honor of doing this work. It's an honor.
Yep.
And I do see it more. I don't feel I experience it. I feel I'm a voice for the grieving and I'm representing the person that has passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the communication that's already existing between someone who's grieving that I'm enhancing or making physical for the grieving. So that communication, in my humble opinion, is already there. They're not coming through just because there's a medium present. We don't make people come through.
Ah, that's interesting.
No.
That's interesting. So they're always there. So, okay, that's cool. That's a cool way of presenting that. Because I always wondered, like, when you do a big seminar or something like that, or when you do like a big group reading, let's say in an auditorium, you probably have 2,000 spirits clamoring at the door to try to, get their edge. It's like, what do you do? How do you say, okay, it's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn?
No, I don't feel that. I don't feel a hope. There are some mediums that feel, I think it's the wonderful Suzanne Northrup explains it like she hears these yelling voices, and then all of a sudden one comes forward. And that's how she works with spirit. And the reason why every, by the way, as a side note, why every medium seems to work differently, it's because everyone on the planet is different and unique, and there's not one to people that are the same. So that means mediumship is going to, in my opinion, is going to be that unique. So for me, if I heard all of those voices, I wouldn't be able to discern one.
Of course.
So for myself, I, of course, meditate and pray before I do an event at the venue. I'll take a, I have a certain routine that I
Ritual,
do in the morning, but when I go there, I take some quiet time. And then I usually have like a little introduction that I do. And as I'm doing that introduction, all of a sudden for me, the energy of the faces staring at me, begging for a reading, kind of dissipates. It goes in the background. And then I'll be drawn to someone like a pull. I'll be pulled to maybe the left side, and then I'll sense a man, and I'll see that they're sitting, or see, when I say see, it's a feeling that they're next to a person. So I'll say to the lovely woman in the blue shirt, I feel there's a man that's passed for you, and he wants to say XYZ. Do you understand that? I make a statement of energy. Now, as I'm doing that, sometimes I'll feel some minor pulls. People will, and spirit will say, I'm here too. And sometimes I'll go, hold on, I feel a man there too, and he has something similar to that person. And it's amazing how spirit, excuse me, can be, there's 2,000, let's say 2,000 people there. Out of the 2,000, two people can come through from different families, and they're trying to link together to say, we have this in common. That's happened sometimes. Or sometimes I'll just stay with one person. This, it kind of winds down, and then I'm drawn somewhere else. So I don't pick people to be read. The only time I pick someone to be read is if they want a future reading.
And you know what?
A little different.
Some people don't want anything to do with it, and that's their prerogative.
Oh,
Simple
of
as that.
course.
I had
Oh.
an uncle who I was very, very, very close with that passed away on January 18th. He was like my big brother. He was like 9 years older than me, and yeah, I grew up with him and everything. And he was dying of stage 4 colon cancer, and he was a big guy, 6 dan karate black belt expert, larger than life. And the cancer, he was skin and bones at the end, pretty much. It was pretty sad to see. But I wanted, I everybody knew that, normally when you're diagnosed with stage 4, you have less than a year to live. He lived 4 years and 8 months, and he was a, it wasn't even that that killed him. They botched up an ileostomy operation, and when they reconnected it, they didn't do a good job, and he had leakage, and he went into septic shock and all of that. So that's what killed him, not the cancer. Anyways, I wanted to talk to him about, the afterlife, and don't worry, and say something dumb like go to the light or something like that. But but he just, he just climbed down. He says, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm very religious. I believe in Jesus and blah blah blah. Religious, and so I respected that,
But it doesn't mean he doesn't, he's not aware of it now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I was actually reading in Bob's famous book here.
That's great.
There are many bereaved people that take offense to the suggestion that their loved ones still survive. In their minds, the state of death is final, and thoughts of the contrary might be, something that affect their grief. So either somebody that either believes in, religion strongly or believes in nothing, and if you affront them, I've done it twice before to people that I was very close with that transition, and in both instances, well, I'm batting zero. So
I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I think also, Roman, that when someone is facing death, sometimes just talking about it is difficult.
It is difficult, yeah.
They're coming to the end of their lives or the realization of that. And some personalities, depending on how you've been nurtured or what nature has given you, will react in a certain way that they want to deal with it on their own. I have found when that has happened in my personal life, I just tell them I'm here for you. And if you ever want to talk about anything, I'm here. Because eventually, when we all pass, we're going to have a realization that there is an afterlife, whether you believe in it or not.
Whether you believe it or not, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I also believe that if you're practicing a religion and it's done with love and caring, that you are met with the belief of that religion when you pass. But then you also open up to the other people or people within your religion or your soul group or things like that. I believe we all gravitate to certain things that we make physical that represent our spirit, and it helps us get through life. And if somebody is overly religious, versus spiritual and believes in God, whatever it is, if it helps you get through life and it makes you a good person here, I don't think there's any
There's
negative.
nothing wrong with it. Of course, there's nothing wrong with it.
And I purely believe if your uncle believed he's Christian and he believes in God and Christ, he was met with God and Christ.
Well, to him, I mean, most
Buddha, they're
people.
met with Buddha. That's what I believe. Again, that's my belief system. But I'm sorry for your loss,
Oh,
Roman.
thank you. Thank
But
you very
I
much.
believe very much so that your uncle is in a very peaceful place, and he
Good.
knows. And the thing is that they do their life review through us, so he knows your intention now. They know your heart after
Oh,
they.
yeah, of course.
He knows that your intention was good. And I think that when we grapple with grief, we tend to beat up on ourselves, so we don't give ourselves enough grace.
Oh,
And if you say to
no,
yourself,
don't.
he knows my heart now. He knows I was just trying to be nice and help. I love
No, that's
him.
good. That's good. Yeah, very interesting. So, do you let's talk a little bit about using tools to help you connect. Like, there's all these things like psychomanthiums and pendulums and EMDR breathing methods, holotropic breathing, and I can name 10 other things, what are your thoughts on that?
I believe, and it's just a belief system, that, to each its own, but whatever gets you to the end result of your personal connection. When I work with professionals or people wanting to work, I often try to get them to not rely on the tools so that they're doing a channeling. And it's really kind of what I'm also doing with those that are grieving, if you think about it. When somebody asks for a sign, it's physical. Just like if somebody was in a psychomanthium or using a gazing tool, that
The ball crystals.
they're using something physical, and what they're actually doing is it's helping them tune into their spirit, so they're having a communication spirit to spirit versus the your mental mind. Please send me a sign, physical to spirit. So the question for me depends on if you're speaking of a practitioner versus someone who's grieving. My hope is that someone who's grieving could eventually get to the point where they've practiced enough that when they feel something, they just know it's them. Oh, that's you. Thank you. And then they back it up with a sign. That's very comforting when you get that knowing. As a professional, I'd be very wary of a medium that says, let me see a picture.
Oh my God, my first medium I went to. I'm not gonna name names because she'll sue my ass off. Oops, I just said it was a woman. But anyways, bring a picture. Bring a picture.
Or there's something called psychometry,
Yes, psychometry.
and psychometry is really a psychic tool. There used to be a psychic in England named Dolores Stokes, and they could give her rocks from different parts of the world, and she could say, "This is from Argentina. This is," and she was remarkable, you know. And that's
Wow.
psychometry. That's not picking up on a spirit. That's picking up on the energy. So, for example, if someone says, "I'm going to bring you my mother's ring so you can connect," you're not going to connect to them spiritually. You're going to connect to the energy that they left behind in the metal. So, your question, if it's to do with someone wanting to find a medium, you should not be giving any information to a medium. You should not be showing a picture. They don't need to hold your hand and go, let me hold your hand and pick up on your loved ones.
Oh
That's
yeah.
all. That's psychic.
That's
It's not mediumistic because really a medium's job is to validate the people that that person brought to the session and to honor the messages that, well, at least this is how I work, seeing, hearing, feeling, even tasting and smelling from them. And what is their intention? Why are they coming through versus so and so? There's always a reason. That's what I have to go off of. So, psychic tools, or what I like to call them metaphysical tools,
Okay.
because it's not always
Yeah.
about your future.
But by the way, I was in that psychomanthium that you built in Robert Ginsburg's basement.
Yeah, that's pretty. That was a pretty intense one.
Yeah.
You know, so,
I was there. It
yeah,
worked. It's something stirred in me.
yeah. They had quite a setup there. And for those that don't know what a psychomanthium is, it's basically set up so that you're in a very, very dark room, and there's certain measurements of the space that you need to lie in, and you sit in the dark. And in the quiet. And it's really the intensity of that is similar to when you somewhat similar to how a medium needs to get that quiet. You know, but what happens in a dark room for anyone, even this medium, is your mind can take over and you could freak yourself out a little bit.
Well,
You can,
yeah,
you know,
of
so
course.
you have to practice this. You're only in a room. And secondarily, you're in a friend's house in a room. Nothing can happen to you because spirit's not going to beat up on you. There's no such things, in my opinion, as an evil
It's all
spirit.
Hollywood.
It's in your mind. So it really helps you practice the separation of mind vis-a-vis also grief and tuning into your spirit and picking up on your loved ones. So it's a good tool. But tools, I think, depending on who is using them. Depends on it. You have to be very careful when you go to a practitioner that they're not getting information from you and claiming they need certain things from you.
What about using alcohol or drugs?
Well, I'm not of the opinion to do that myself, but I know that recently, and I think even in the mid 70s, there was a lot of psychotropic drugs
Oh,
that
the
were.
psychotropic drugs. Yes, of course.
Thank you, that were being used to study consciousness and things outside of consciousness, and they're starting to
Ayahuasca and all of that and
like that. I mean, I'm not, I grew up in the era of Nancy Reagan, don't do drugs. So I'm a the biggest what we would call a redneck. And for me personally, I don't like I'll go to house parties or do a group reading, and the first thing the host says, "Would you like a glass of wine?" I'm like, "No,
Right,
no."
because that'll impede you,
It
right?
would. and
Okay, yeah.
it would impede me anyway doing anything else. But it, to me personally,
Right.
it doesn't help. And I can only speak for myself as a practitioner. I no judgment on anybody else. I
Stay off
know.
the drugs, kids.
Well, I know of
Yeah.
a medium who needs to be completely stoned when they do a reading.
Stoned. Wow. What's
And
on
that's
what?
and
Like on pot?
yeah, And
Okay.
okay, that if that's your thing and you're helping people, all part
Yeah.
of you.
Okay.
If it's helping, great. If it relaxes you, good. For myself, nope.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
No, of course. It all depends on the individual. I can see some, certain drugs having a positive effect, like especially the psychotropic drugs and stuff like that. I've read books about what's his name, that Graham guy. I forget his name, but he went to and did the ayahuasca a couple of times and saw the serpent, Mother God or whatever, the serpent. And anybody that does ayahuasca sees this serpent.
Okay.
It's like this knower of everything or something like that. So
Wow. All right.
fascinating to read, but then
Yeah.
again, it's drugs,
Yeah, it's not my thing.
it could be real, it could be not, I don't know.
You do you. Whatever
Yep.
you need to do. But for myself, it's not my thing.
No, I'm and you know what? Out of the I've been doing this show for about 4 or 5 years, and first time I asked that question.
Wow, I wonder why you asked me.
No, I'm not asking. You don't look like a drug addict or anything like that. No,
I know I didn't get to
no,
look
it's just,
at you tonight, but what the heck,
I try to keep the questions different and
I
interesting this
understand.
time,
I'm
without
just teasing.
being repetitive or whatever,
I'm teasing
But
too.
no, that's that, that's these are good things to know. In the course yesterday, what would you like recommend to some, like, and I'm sure you spoke about it, some of the tips that you recommended for some of our for some of our like that you recommended yesterday that some of our listeners can take advantage of?
Sure. Well, I mean, first, the course that I normally teach is a weekend course, and I had an hour yesterday.
Oh
So,
yeah.
I had to cram a lot in an
Oh
hour.
yeah.
But I think that the biggest thing, the takeaway that I would share is that there are different ways that you can bring about communication. It's not always in a sign, even though signs are great. One way would be to understand, for example, meditation and the chakra system. Chakras are energy centers in our body, and each chakra, there are seven main ones, hold a certain meaning from foundation to creativity, personal power, emotions, communication, seeing clearly, spiritual knowledge. And you could take yourself through a meditation and ask your loved one about each area of your life, about your foundation. How can you be more creative to communicate with each other? What was your purpose, or how does your spirituality, not, I know you're physically not here anymore, but your spirituality, how does that play into my personal power in my everyday life? Emotions, how does the interrelationship of what I know is present, but I can't always see, have an impact in how I live the rest of my life? How can we have better communication? How can I see you clearly? What spiritual knowledge can you give me? So you can take yourself through a meditation and the chakras and ask those questions to your loved one. Be surprised what you get. The other thing you could try too is taking a deeper dive, not into the reason why they passed, because there's never, I don't think you ever get a clear answer on
There's
why.
no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, there isn't, especially with such a loss as what you experienced. However, you could try to ask them to send you the spiritual purpose, like the second best thing. What was the spiritual meaning of why, for example, you were my mom? Or why you were my son. can take that spiritual purpose and use it as, think of grief as a battlefield. And when we are drained of the energy of, I can't see you anymore, I'm grieving, we're victimized by that. And we don't see the love, even though we feel the love, we don't see it as powerful or empowering and using it. But if we have a spiritual purpose behind it, it doesn't cure grief, but it evens out the playing field a bit. I like saying grief a black eye.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take the, like, Mom, I miss you. I wish you were here, but I'm so grateful that you taught me patience and forgiveness and to be merciful and use grace.
Yeah.
You're going through difficulties. And even though I miss you and I'm grieving right now, I'm going to take you along, even though they're always with you. I'm going to take that along with me or today, or take you with me and be that. And when you are encompassing the love, you see more signs. You see more evidence of that person.
Interesting.
Another thing, too, is just to understand how they work. And they're in a spiritual place.
Yep.
When we're grieving, we're in a mental place. So we need to be more spiritual if we want to communicate with them. So that means trying to see them in our dreams or meditating or daydreaming time and just sitting quietly and receiving from them.
Yep.
And trusting it and then taking that out in the world. So it's truly understanding the love. And even though when we think of that love and we're grieving, it'll make us cry.
Right. Yeah.
That's the very muscle that I was trying to explain to our first caller, that it is a muscle you need to build.
Yeah, you need to strengthen and exercise it. And yeah, definitely. I agree with that 100%.
Takes time and practice.
Yeah. Just like, you know, just like anything else in life, right?
That, yes.
Good at it, time and practice.
Absolutely.
So are you of the belief that we can all be mediums, we just have to practice at it? Or are some people just, you know, naturally more inclined to be mediums than others?
Well, I think there's a difference between a professional medium and a channeler. I think we can all channel.
Okay.
I don't think everyone is built to help someone through mediumship. Just like I like to lift weights, I'll never be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, you know,
right.
You know, like, I love to sing. I'm never going to win a Grammy like Beyonce. You know, there's certain, I think also purpose falls into the line of that. What your spiritual purpose is here versus your fit. I'm a lawyer, but what kind of a lawyer are you, for example? Are you a lawyer for the people? Are you a lawyer? But, you know, like there's purposes behind things. Many people will say to me, oh, Angelina, you have such a gift. I'm like, no, I don't have a gift.
Yeah, sometimes it's a gift, sometimes it's a curse.
No,
no?
Respectfully, I believe
okay.
My gift might be I love helping people.
Of course.
I love helping people. It just.
But can you turn it off when you, like, can you turn that whole thing off when you say, okay, I've had enough. I just, enough. No spirit communication. No, I just need me time.
Well, to my point, and this will somewhat answer your question.
Okay.
If I was to give you a wrapped gift right now and you open it up, and let's say it's a scarf, I'm giving you a gift. Does the scarf ever change into a coat? It stays a scarf, right?
Right.
But the mediumship that I did in 2001 is totally different than what I'm doing now. It's developed and it will always be developing. That's why it's an ability, right? So since it's an ability, the best thing that any professional medium can do worth their salt is learn. Right now, I'm helping someone and I'm giving all of my spiritual energy to that person. But I've done two readings today. I have to do a group reading, not tomorrow, but the next day. I better take Thursday off. So I'm good for the group. And I can also take care of my life. Because also, and I say this to people that are grieving, if you want to be a good channeler, it's very important that you set some physical things in your life that are solidly the same. So, because when we grieve, we lose control of our physical life. But if you can get up every morning, get out of bed, be grateful that you're still alive, make the bed, brush your teeth, put some clothes on or shower, do something good physically for yourself, then work on being a channeler, those things are going to balance themselves out, just like a professional medium. We don't shut it down. We, well, at least I have days that I work with clients, and then days I do my life. And then there's balance in that, so I'm good in both areas.
Okay, well, those are really, really good points. So, listeners, you have some homework.
Don't
do
we?
What Angelina says, just, you know, focus on your chakras and listen to this show again and redo the instructions, play it backwards, play it forwards. I don't care. It's all good. And I'm sure you'll be able to, you know, I'm sure they can channel.
Well, I hope it helped.
Yeah, I'm. Oh, this has been it's been a wonderful show. It's been really, really good. I just wanted to see if there's anything else that we didn't cover that I wanted to cover. Do you ever, like, really quickly, you're at the end of a session, a medium session, and the spirit has so much more to say. They just don't want to go away, and like the time's running out. You know, what do you do in that instance?
I go over.
You go over. Okay.
Over time.
Okay, you go over all the time.
And I also, though, have to have a responsibility if I have, say,
other clients.
Clients.
Yeah.
I often ask Spirit, I say, please, you know, come through clearly with evidence to help the person, preferably in the time that we have scheduled. But if I go over, please help me balance my energy so I can be there for other people, too.
Okay, I get it.
I ask Spirit, but there are times I do go over a session.
Fantastic.
You have to. You can't just stop.
Yeah. So how far out are you booked for private sessions?
Not very far.
Not very far? Okay, great.
For me,
that's good to know. So folks, call her up. She's amazing.
For me personally, I make time for my clients. I'm not a television medium and I don't travel the world books. You know, and
yeah.
There are wonderful mediums out there that do that, and they have to spend their time differently. So when I find that my schedule is full and someone asks for a reading, I try to make space for it. That's what I try to do.
Okay, Angelina, thank you. This hour went by so quick, didn't it? I mean, it's already done. It's, wow, real quick.
Well,
and it was a fascinating show, as always. I really thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate
and everybody,
that.
We'll see you like next month for another medium show. And in the meantime, you know, just know that your loved ones are a heartbeat away, like Frank Ginzburg used to say. You know, and science is going to prove it.
Yeah.
I've kind of adopted to always try to remember to say that at my shows. So
that's sweet.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, and have a great night. Adios.